Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we see that the number of people hospitalised with COVID-19 has risen further to 794. That's as of 8 o'clock this morning. That's up 18 on the same time yesterday. There were 776 in hospital at that time. On RTE News yesterday, Dr. Colm Henry from the HSE said Ireland is in the middle of another wave of COVID. And of course, the schools all across Ireland are finishing up this week, the primary schools, and many families are hoping to jet off on their summer holidays. So are those popular destinations coping with their own wave of COVID, and does the international cost of living crisis mean that the prices are on the rise for those tourists who are heading to the sun spots? In a moment, we'll get the picture from Portugal and Greece. But first, we're going to go to Spain and to Cliona O'Flynn, who's a journalist in Tenerife. Cliona, thank you for joining us. The first thing I want to ask you about is how things are there in terms of COVID.
There are a rise. We're in the middle of what has been called the seventh wave, and I think it's probably the same throughout Europe. But there's a kind of a welcoming lack of panic here in the Canary Islands. The authorities seem to be concentrating their figures on the over 60s and the over 80s because they're considered the most vulnerable population, considering that there's a hugely high percentage of the population here vaccinated. So while hospital cases aren't rising worryingly yet, there has been a national increase in the numbers infected. I mean, it's at the moment, the count yesterday was 13,000, rising from like 8,000 and 9,000 about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So the experts are saying we haven't reached the peak of the seventh wave yet. But in general, there's no panic, certainly in any of the tourist areas, and absolutely no talk about bringing in any of the previous restrictions we would have had on, say, numbers dining together or using transport or going to public areas.
And are people wearing masks?
No, very few people are wearing masks. They need to be worn on public transport, which would include taxis, and in health centres and pharmacies. But generally, out and about, I would say 2 in every 10 people might have a mask with them or on their face. But most people seem to have very quickly forgotten that wearing a mask might be a good idea.
Okay. The other aspect of all of this travel this summer are the delays that people are facing in airports. Now, in the Canary Islands, are there delays when people are arriving or leaving?
It's a curious thing. Because of Brexit, which shouldn't affect Irish passengers, there are delays on people arriving, particularly if flights are coinciding with flights, say, coming in from the UK, because UK passport holders are treated differently to European passport holders. They need to be stamped. Given that there's only maybe 2 or 3 passport desks in operation in an airport the size of Tenerife, if you have arrived in at the same time as other flights, you could be waiting for up to 40 minutes or to an hour, depending on the time of day. But that generally seems to be the longest wait. And if you're an Irish passport holder and coming from Ireland, you don't need to have any COVID certificate with you. You just need to have your passport in date. And in terms of, say, leaving, going home again from Tenerife, they've only recently opened a second departure area with more people on passport checking, on baggage dropping and on security. So that's actually eased up any queues in terms of your flight home. A little bit of delay there for coming in, but once you're here, hopefully you'll have a nice time and you should be okay going home as well.
All right, well, that sounds pretty promising. In terms of cost, because we're all talking about the cost of living increase, we know it's happening right across Europe indeed and yes, beyond. Has there been a spike in the price of hotels and eating out?
Yes, both. I mean, I would love to say no and do a, you know, come to Spain.com, but yes, there has been. Hotels have been across the board saying that they have probably seen an increase of 30% in the cost of operating hotels, most of that in terms of energy rises. Now, while they're not putting a full 30%, it would seem, on a hotel room price, we've heard up to 23% at different times of the year. I was, you know, one of the rooms I was looking at was previously €93 a night. Now it's 110. B&B I went to last year was 120 for 3 nights, and it's 139 this year. So
Cliona, there is a slight increase. In the context of Irish prices, that's not bad.
Exactly. I mean, this is the point. In terms of eating out, for instance, I know I was speaking to a couple of restaurant owners in my area, and they said, yes, prices have gone up. The price of steak, for instance, had tripled in one restaurant. Oil, surprise, surprise, the cost of oil has tripled, as we know, and that affects cooking. But I mean, again, I went online, I was checking one of my favourite little restaurants. You still get a fillet steak dinner for €20, which compared to back in Dublin is a very good price indeed. Supermarket prices have also risen in line with the cost of living. The consumer price index has gone up by about 6%. If you're owning a car, petrol has risen. But, you know, for me, a litre of petrol is about €1.62. So I think, again, compared to prices back in Ireland, that is still relatively cheap for Irish visitors.
OK, absolutely. So even with the increased prices, we will see, from what we're used to paying here, we'll see some nice prices, really. And we were told
very
today
much so.
We're the second most expensive in Europe for food, Switzerland ahead of us only. Your high season, though, there is not right now, as people might expect. It's Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, because we are one of the best, here I am now, I'm on the tourist trail now, one of the best winter destinations in terms of weather, we don't expect 100% occupancy around this time of year. The Hotel Association are saying they're looking at about 76% for July and August, which is very, very good for this time of year. And they're generally feeling very happy at the rate of recovery post-pandemic. I mean, 2019 is like the yardstick year. And in general, there's an excellent sense that we have recovered. The Canary Islands was able to announce about a month ago that they have already got 100% connectivity in terms of airlines. So that's a really good indicator of the kind of recovery of the Canary Islands. Okay. Like I say, it's surviving, and we're looking forward to hopefully a healthy winter in more ways than one.
Well, Cliona, enjoy the lovely weather from rainy Dublin. Thank you very much for talking to us.
I will be back at some stage, but I'll enjoy it for now.
Do. And you'll appreciate it all the more if you come back here and it's still raining. We want to go to Portugal now and to journalist Alison Roberts. Alison, you're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time to join us. The first thing I want to ask you about, Alison, are the COVID numbers in Portugal. Because we were told here by our health experts to look at Portugal because you're slightly ahead of us with this wave. What's been happening?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Well, I've sort of lost count of these waves. I mean, they're saying here that this is the sixth wave that we've been going through, but maybe there was a miniature one in between. I can't remember. But Portugal has been, in the last few weeks, number one or two in the world in terms of new cases and COVID deaths as well. We do seem to have passed the peak now, though. I mean, just to give you an idea, in April and May, the health authorities here were saying almost a million people were infected with the coronavirus. And that's sort of that's more than one fifth of all the people since the start of the pandemic. So we're talking really big numbers. In terms of deaths, of course, it's much, much lower. Mm-hmm. It has to be said, though, that Portugal's population does skew a little bit older than most of mainland Europe. And therefore, those death figures are pushed up a little bit by that. So that's a factor.
So
I don't think there's panic here by any means. And most of the restrictions have been lifted. At the moment, people only have to wear masks in public transport and in healthcare settings.
OK, important, though, for visitors to know that, people coming from Ireland, that if you are going on public transport, you will need to have your mask with you.
Absolutely. And to be honest, here in Lisbon, we often do see quite a lot of tourists who don't have them. Either they just forget them to put them on, or sometimes they even forget to bring them and they get ticked off by the ticket collectors.
Are there restrictions then on people entering the country? Do they still need to show their vaccination certificates?
Yeah, all passengers are authorised to enter, so from any country and regardless of purpose of travel. But it is still mandatory to present either a vaccination certificate, a full schedule of vaccination. You don't have to have a booster, but you have to have the original schedule of vaccination or recovery or test certificate, or, of course, a test. So a PCR 72 hours before boarding, within 72 hours before boarding, or an antigen test within 24 hours before boarding. And that's still there. That's pretty standard. Children under 12 do not need to present one. So that's a bonus. And also the passenger locator form has now gone. That's no longer necessary.
OK, so we don't need to worry about that. Any problems with delays at the airports?
There had been some problems which actually related, or they seem to relate to staffing issues, lack of management of the border force. The government has said that heads will roll if this happens again. So they seem to be saying that it's just a failure in management. And they've actually drafted in some officers from other police forces to help out. There are also a lot more electronic gates, and there are quite a number of passengers, for example, from North America can now go through those e-gates, as, of course, can people from Ireland. And so that tends to help things quite a lot.
And just a quick word before we finish on the prices, hotels and restaurants going up?
I think certainly we've seen hotel prices going up. Depending on the region, of course, you know, demand is very strong at the moment. In April already, bookings were above the level of 2019. So it had been expected that the recovery would take until next year. It seems to be taking place this year, whether it's because Portugal is a long way from the war in Ukraine or just general enthusiasm for having holidays. Portugal really is going through a new tourism boom now. So that is pushing up prices. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, the energy issue and all of that, that's feeding through into you know, food prices and so on. So we will be feeling that in restaurants. It's not very obvious at the moment, but certainly in hotels we are seeing prices going up.
Alison in Portugal, thank you very much. Let's go to Greece now and to Liana Spiropoulou. Liana, thank you for joining us. COVID numbers there where you are.
Thank you for inviting me. It's more or less the same. We have another wave the past 10 days. We have some 20,000 cases, which are a lot comparing to the past weeks. They don't seem to care, though. We have a wonderful summer here. It's really hot. Sorry to mention our summer to Dublin. Sorry for that.
That's okay. We're used to this.
Nobody seems to care, really.
Okay, so it's life
COVID
continues.
Never existed.
Life continues as normal there. And what about the prices, yes. Liana? Have the prices been going up?
The prices have gone up, but it's still cheap. What do I mean? For example, last year you could buy the famous souvlaki, the pita bread with the meat and tzatziki and etc. inside with 2 euros. Now maybe you have to pay 2.80. For example,
we can live with that, I think.
Yes, I think so too. It's due to energy costs. The hotels are more or less the same. We have extremely outrageous prices in the famous islands like Mykonos and Santorini. But at this point, I have to tell you that Greece has 3,000 islands. You can go to another island and not to the islands you knew from the past, the famous ones.
So explore some of the lesser known islands is the advice, Liana. Listen,
I was in Lesbos last week.
Yeah, oh right, okay.
The island which is famous about the refugee crisis.
Yes.
The crisis is not there anymore. You will not see refugees around. It's a very clean island. Beautiful beaches, amazing food. The only disadvantage, maybe it is that you will gain a few pounds if you go there because the food is extremely good.
Liana, you've sold it to us. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Liana Spiropoulou in Greece. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.